Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
But why can't a one be a three?
It can be. Both parties have to be willing to do the work in order to transition the relationship, which means the relationship as it was is going to not be anymore. Mm-hmm. So the things that you loved so much about the relationship as it has been, once it shifts into this other territory, that's not all of that's not coming with it.
Hello, honey, and welcome to Honey Do Me Podcast. I'm Cass.
And I'm Emma, and we're just two gals looking for a good lay.
Aren't we all? But when it comes to sex, we're just as lost as you and have no idea what we're doing.
Luckily, we will stop at nothing to get the answers we need. Cue our expert guests.
We're ready to overshare and ask all the embarrassing questions so you don't have to.
By the end of every episode, you will be dripping in actionable steps and ready to take on the damn world.
Or at least take it from behind.
So tell us, honey,
how do you
do you?
Howdy ho.
Howdy ho.
All you hoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of our hoes all around.
Mm-hmm. Our honey hoes.
Honey hoes. How are you?
I'm, you know. How
are
amazing.
You? Amazing. A millionaire. Thriving.
Yeah.
On
just
top of the world.
All of the things. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm fantastic. Doing good. I'm excited to be here. Excited to be talking.
I'm doing well as well. I have a heating pad currently on my uterus, but other than that, I'm
cramps for days.
I'm just, this is where my power comes from. It comes from pain.
Yeah.
It's about, what is the Rocks thing?
It's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. Anyway. I was thinking about this yesterday. So I remember you told me a story, and I think this is kind of the funniest type of joke that happens in real life. I was like, this is kind of the funniest bit that happens is when somebody says something like, ugh, remember when we used to put stickers all over our water bottles, but you're somebody that still does it? Uh-huh. And I was just laughing about that because that is the exact scenario that happened to you. Somebody told Emma, like, oh my God, remember when we used to put stickers all over our water bottles? Emma's water bottle, which is attached to her hip, is not literally,
stickers.
But
it is
just a carabiner. Also, my mouth made a farting sound. My cheek squeaked, but the upper ones, not my butt cheeks, my mouth cheeks squeaked.
What if that's what you called farting? My cheek squeaked.
Oh my God.
Were you like... Did you have a saliva pocket? You know how people pack their lips?
It was an air pocket. No saliva pocket.
Fuck, that was funny.
Now you're about talking. Fucking A.
You should shut up.
You should be.
It's really embarrassing for you. Oh my God. Yes, I want a sticker on my water bottle that says my cheeks squeak. That's my new sticker I'm adding to my collection.
Okay, oh anyways, God. Have you ever had a partner say something like, oh, I hate fuck. When people do this, or I hate this on somebody, and then that's you?
And then that's you. Oh, I'm sure that's happened to me, especially in the beginning of, like, relationships and dating, when you weren't really being who you were.
Right.
And you were like, oh, I'm a guy's girl. I love sports.
Sports.
And then, like, oh, yeah, I hate when girls love, like, potato chips and... watching.
I hate when girls like Bachelor. Things.
Yeah, I hate when girls like anything. You're like, I would never.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've totally had that happen. But like, I can't think of something off the top of my head, but that's totally
something
happened.
Sexual. Like, I hate when girls have fat labs.
You're like, I hate when girls have
shit.
Shit. I hate when girls have a wrinkly labia. God damn it, I won't take off my undies.
Fine. I'll keep it on. Suck it in.
Oh, suck it in. Oh my God, that's so funny. I hate when girls. What have I been told? Have a gag reflex, and then I literally like throw up.
You're like, let me vom on that D, babe.
I don't even know where we're going. Fuck, I'm still laughing at my cheek squeaked. Have you had anyone say that to you?
Not that I can think of, honestly. Like, for things sexually, yeah. I think I've had a lot of people say things about, like, life stuff.
Like, about me, like,
how
personally.
I live my life and my personality. But other than that, like, Jürgen would never say anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe I've had, like, I hate when girls, like, watch porn. Okay. You know, and I've been like, ooh.
Yeah, you're like, gross.
Gross. I hate that too.
Gross.
Don't look at my history. I have to go do something.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Please.
I need
touch
my laptop.
Yeah, I maybe like secret things like that, like things I do in masturbation.
Secret. Like, cheek squeaking.
Like cheek squeak. I hate when girls fart in their sleep. Oh, God.
Me too. Gross. Oh, ew.
Ew. Yuck. Yuck, yuck.
Yuck.
Well, luckily today, we're talking about creating your ideal sex life in your just dream sexcapades that you want to be having.
Yeah, from start to finish, babe.
Babe. Who do we have today, Cass?
We have Alexa, aka that sex chick.
Yes, we do.
And she just, oh my God, the way that she answers questions is so cool because she tells a story and you're like, okay, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh my God, you just answered that question and so many more.
Yeah, and in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that like tells you an anecdote of how you may have experienced
exactly
that question coming up for you, which just puts it into perspective of how to answer that question for yourself. I don't know if any of that made sense. It will after you listen to her.
Just a lot of connections were made in this episode, and it's going to really hold your hand through creating that sex life that you deserve.
Dreamed of.
I just had a thought pop into my head. Instead of calling people sweet cheeks, you can call them squeak cheeks.
Squeak cheeks. Yeah. That's perfect.
Okay, see you on the other side, squeak thought. Cheeks.
Goodbye.
My name is Alexa. My friends and my family call me Lex. Last name a couple of months ago was Martinez. It is now Bowditch. So recently married, which feels really good and still kind of stirs up some butterflies and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did the thing I, for the majority of my 20s, said I was never going to do. It's a little of the personal stuff. Yeah. I live in Austin, Texas, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. My family's been there for over 300 years since before New Orleans was named New Orleans. And it took a lot for me to uproot and move, you know, from that area because my whole family is there. So raised mostly Catholic and have spent the majority of my life trying to figure out what faith, sex, my body, relationships, life, purpose, what is the deeper meaning to me on an individual level versus being from the South versus being raised Catholic versus all the things that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of then the backstory, but I'm a sex, love, and relationship coach. And I run a company now with my husband where we have therapists, counselors, teachers, spiritual practitioners of all sorts that work with us. And collectively, we coach groups and individual people on having a sex life and a relationship that they're fucking stoked to have, which I didn't check and see if I could say fuck.
Yes,
on your
you can. Absolutely, you can.
We hope you do.
Great. So,
wow. Yeah. What a, like, 180 from what you thought your life was going to be. And now your entire career is based off of like this loving relationship that you have that you never thought you were going to. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I look back and I'm like, wow, you know, it all makes sense in hindsight. Mm-hmm. But in it, especially when I thought I knew most things that had to do with the ways of the world and how it worked in my 20s. Yeah. You know, fast forward a few years and I'm like, oh, you're cute. Really cute there. And everything that you thought you didn't want from an empowered place was really out of fear. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward and a little bit more growth and meeting, you know, the right community and the right person. And it's, you know, not that some people choose that. Some people do choose that from an empowered place. Right. And it's not about meeting the right person, because that used to really annoy me mm-hmm. when I was younger. And people would say, oh, you just be patient, as if like, poor me. I didn't have right. a person, or the person that I was with, I knew I didn't want to marry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody chooses whatever their choice is for whatever their reason is. And mm-hmm. it served me then. And it seems like this is serving me now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you said one thing about now you're working towards helping people like fucking love their sex life and their relationship. And I think that's where we want to dive deeper today as well. So how do you start out figuring out what you want in your sex life? How do you define your sex life for yourself?
It's a really big question.
Yeah.
And I think as someone who has created a brand and a business that is like a giant structure of mirrors, like I cannot see where my, I would say, shortcomings are, or my work is still to be done, or the areas that I may be avoiding. I can't not see them on a day-to-day basis, because I'm consistently working with other couples and other people in my community spaces and on our show and all that. So it's like I'm constantly up close and personal with where some of the shadows are and some of the great triumphs that I have experienced through my life. And so it's like, wow, the work is really never done. And that's part of, I think, the beauty in all of this, is that it's a work in progress perpetually, because I might have a thing figured out and then I'll become a mom and mm-hmm. then everything will flip upside down. Maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And then it will be, you know, a different season in womanhood, and then maybe things will change there, or, you know, something, there's another new layer or level or cycle to start mm-hmm. and complete that will change the game. And all the things mm-hmm. I thought I figured out will, you know, completely turn around. So, I preface in this in saying that, to me, I have gotten relatively comfortable with the discomfort, relatively comfortable with, and I won't say it doesn't make it any more comfortable going through sticky things. It's just, oh, I can see this coming ahead of time, mm-hmm. That a new challenge has surfaced. And so understanding that it's always going to be an unfolding, a really beautiful unfolding. And so how someone can figure out what they want in their sex life in order to create a relationship that they're fucking stoked about mm-hmm. is one, understanding that it's always going to change.
Mm-hmm. Which is so fantastic, Jordan, for planners.
So Jordan got this piece of advice not that long ago where he was instructed to always treat me like a mystery. Mm. Like always look at me filled with wonder and awe, and she's so mysterious, and that's a good thing. Meaning like I'll always change. Like he might be pretty steady, but I'm going to, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of comes with the territory. Yeah. So I think getting really curious what excites me and what brings me pleasure. Now those two questions, what excites me, what brings me pleasure? I felt like the word pleasure was kind of arbitrary and far out. Like it was hard. Mm-hmm. Like what brings me pleasure? And like, yeah, okay, cool. Like I like to read and I like, you know, whatever I like to eat, or I like to do a certain thing during my, you know, workout or whatever. But really on a more granular level, what brings pleasure, what type of touch, what type of sensation, what sound, what taste, what really, really brings pleasure. Because as life starts to shift and change, maybe understanding those little things, then the evolution of the greater picture might shift, but those little pleasures you still are aware of. So I'll bring it a little bit more, I would say, to earth. Question, what do you want and what do you like? Also big questions. A couple of tools that I really love for people who are like, I have no idea where to begin mm-hmm. and I don't know what I like or what I want. It's a want, will, won't list. It's over 300 questions. Mm-hmm. It says, what do you want? What will you do? What won't you do? So if you have no idea and you just know, I want more, or I want better, or I want something different than what I'm currently experiencing. And maybe you don't want that right now, but you know that you'll want it in the future. Mm-hmm. So go through a list. It's pretty easy to Google. I have one. If you Google it, I'm sure it will pop up. Just type want, will, won't list. And go through one of those checklists and ask yourself, do I want this? And that's like a hell yes, I want it. Give it to me now. The context, of course, depending that it's all safe and you're with a person that you want to exchange that energy with. The will section is you will do it if your partner really wants it. And then the won't is a safe word, pineapple, red, stop, whatever. Stop's not really a good safe word, but whatever your safe word is, that's a hard no, and it's non-negotiable. So I would say start with something like that. Bring that into your relationship if you're in one, and start having regular conversations. Like you would talk about what your schedules are like for the week. Talk about sex in the same way that you might talk about the weather or what you want for dinner, and start bringing that conversation up as much as you can, because it is a really, a lot of people go into relationships and sex is in some ways a bonus. Mm-hmm. Like they have to check all these boxes with this person. And then the sex is like a secondary bonus thing that comes with it. Right. And they just go, oh, well, this just is. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered in my own life and a lot of people that I've worked with is that the sex winds up being the primary reason why the relationship ends. Whether there's not enough sex happening, it's whether it's quality, quantity, the desire, the way that it's going down, all of that is factored into I'm done. Mm-hmm. And so if it winds up being this thing that becomes a primary reason why relationships end, then how about choose to prioritize it where it actually is in this whole grand scheme?
Yeah.
And have reverence for it, respect for it, and let it have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love everything that you just said about like the big picture and then coming down to like your want, will, won't list. And is a want, will, won't list something that you went through yourself in your own journey? And did you ever find something that like either surprised you that you liked or that you thought you'd like and it was a hard no? Like I feel like that's also a barrier is actually trying the things that could be interesting. So like what was your process like with that? And did you try everything you wanted to off of those lists?
Well, the list is really long. Goodness. I don't know if y'all have had a conversation about erotic blueprints on your show. Have you spoken a little about that? Okay. Yeah. So Jordan and I, which is another great resource, Jaya and Ian, who created the erotic blueprints. There's 5 different profile types. You can take the quiz. You can find that online too. Jordan's out of the 5 profile types, his top 2, sensual and sexual, are my bottom 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my top 2, kinky and energetic, are his bottom 2.
Wow. Okay. That must have been shocking at first.
Yeah. I was missing the mark with trying to describe how I liked to express. And it was a very vulnerable place that I helped, you know, at the point when Jordan and I were first, you know, getting together, I was trying to describe these same things that I help people describe all the time in their lives. And for some reason, it was really challenging when it was my own relationship.
Right.
And he was just not understanding. To describe to a very kind of mostly serial monogamous, vanilla, beautiful, he's like a Greek California god. Right? You know, game, there's no game for someone who like looks and feels like he does. He's very charismatic. He's always had this like kind of charm to him. And I imagine that getting with women has been easy most of his life, that he's wanted to engage sexually with women. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where I'm like, I don't want to just be an easy catch, so to speak. Not that that's not necessarily the way that I really thought about it. It was more like, I'm not looking for quantity in sexual experiences. I'm looking for quality. So I'd rather say no, and then go for deeper and more expansive, where I can bring curiosities into play, which a lot of times for me is kinky elements. And so I would share some of this, what I was seeing and experiencing in our relationship. And he kind of understood it. He understood the part where like sex was typically pretty easy for him.
Mm-hmm. And, I get that. I heard that.
That clicks.
Yeah. He understood that part. Yeah. And we talk about this very publicly too. And so to describe to someone like him that I have interest in daddy dom little girl play, and which is an element of DS. And so for me to even just say DS, I said BDSM to him for the first time. And he was like, that, like, it broke his brain a little bit. Like, no, only twisted, demented, traumatized souls do that in dungeons.
You know? In dungeons.
And I was like, no, no, they also do it with like colors and like princess skirts. Yeah. And, you know, you know, they also do it like in this totally normal way too. Mm-hmm. And so it was challenging. Like I used some of my resources in my community to help explain to him what some of these dynamics were so that he could see it in a way that he didn't project his judgment and shame and mm-hmm. lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding nuances in various situations. Like he just didn't know. So it was very challenging for us to come together with erotic blueprints that were totally different. Mm-hmm. And for us to say, like, let's be in a relationship. So the what will won't list and the erotic blueprint really helped us to communicate effectively because we had something concrete, this piece of paper that had my check marks on it. And so we sat down and did a what will won't list probably right around the time that we did erotic blueprint. So they were able to feed into each other. But I sat down with him and I was like, we're going to do this exercise that you have heard me coach people with a lot, but you and I have never done.
Wow. So many different areas you can like incorporate this into your life. And it basically all starts with getting comfortable talking about it mm-hmm. and getting comfortable with your preferences, like understanding what you prefer and then being able to express them.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, because like for you and me, it'd be super easy for us to fill out something like that. I mean, that's literally what we do. We just do it mm-hmm. on air. But I'm thinking about like cishet men in particular. Like I can't picture a lot of them filling out something like this together. You know what I mean? Like with a friend to get that language. It sounds funny, but
over
like
a beer.
Also, so how are they going to get that language?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so how are they going to like get into these partnerships and feel comfortable talking about it? Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer to that. That's just
rhetorical.
That's just a question.
But you actually brought up something. We should totally do an episode where we fill out a want, will, won't list.
Yes.
That would be really fun to do on air and people can mm-hmm. do it with us if they want.
Exactly.
So if you have gone through this list yourself, like let's say you don't have a partner, a long-term boyfriend, whatever, and you know what you want, how do you date intentionally? How do you find the right people to explore your sexuality with, to have a good sex life with, like, and create that for yourself? Like, how do we date intentionally?
That's a really great question. So at first, and I'll just speak very quickly of personal experience and how Jordan and I got together because I kind of alluded to it in telling the story about how we got to Austin and we were in New Orleans. He was in California and I was in New Orleans. I was about a year off of ships. So I lived and worked on luxury cruise ships for about 6 years in my 20s. And traveled all over the world, had lots of experiences. I have seen dicks and vulvas from all over the world.
Oh, like below deck.
But luxury cruise lines. So big ones, big ships.
Okay.
Oh so my God. I love yachts, that. The really like massive ones. And, so I had a lot of experiences just in life up to that point. And I felt really great about, just that time and that exploration. I was introduced to BDSM, consensual non-monogamy. I really started the seeds were planted towards the end of my time traveling that like, oh, people live, love, experience life totally different mm-hmm. to the people in South Louisiana.
Shocking. I know.
Wow. It blew my mind uh-huh. over and over again. One of the greatest teachers, a couple of the greatest teachers of my life, travel and sex. So when I was about a year off of, you know, traveling the world and doing my whole ship song and dance, and I was back in New Orleans and the question was, what are you doing here, Lex? Like, this is my internal dialogue. What are you really doing here? What do you really want right now? Because and that was when I got clear. It's not sex, because I'd had a lot of really great sex. So it wasn't continuing to have all these various experiences, I had to come to terms with at that time that I wanted a relationship. When I'd been very public about poly and solo poly and all these different ways that it could be done, but I was coming to terms with, I think I want a family unit. And it was really challenging. Like, it was quite a bit of an identity crisis at the time. So I started journaling and writing about this person that I wanted and what I was available to provide and to give and the commitments that I was willing to make to spirit, God, universe, that I was willing to make in order to get the relationship that I wanted, that I thought I wanted. And similarly, Jordan was also going through a situation where he had his heart broken and he was now speaking very publicly online just about the whole process and how it was, how he was growing through it. In some way, shape, or form, our paths aligned online and he reached out and asked me for a FaceTime date. Aww. Fast forward 4 years and we are married.
Aww.
So
that's really cool.
I say this story to illustrate mainly that I really felt like my alignment, how I was really clear on like, this is what I want. And it was also, oh shit, at the time that I put pen to paper or fingers to, you know, keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I put it out to the world. This is what I'm available for. This is what I'm calling into my life and being really present with that. I think that's what had us come together. So dating intentionally, bringing it back to your original question, is just like having a great sex life. You got to know what you want. And also at the same time, I understand that being asked the question, what do you want, is so vast and so big and so daunting for some people. Like, well, I don't know what I want. How do I know what I want if I haven't tried that many things? Like, I don't know what the options are. That can feel overwhelming for some people. And some people hear that and are like, I just want to try it all. Mm-hmm. And then I'll decide. Mm-hmm. Right? But not everybody's like that. Mm-hmm. And so it could be that dating intentionally means you try some things on that are not going to be a good fit at first, mm-hmm. so that you have a point of reference. And so being willing to try things on, putting yourself out there. And when I say putting yourself out there, I mean for yourself. Mm-hmm. What does your life look like? Are you dating yourself, so to speak? Are you taking yourself to nice places? Are you treating your body well? Are you eating well? Are you, when I say treating your body, like looking at your body as a temple, the only structure that you're going to have for your whole life, are you treating it well, mm-hmm. and kindly? And if you don't know how to do that, or what are you, or the answer is not yet, then put pen to paper. What are the ways that you can treat yourself nicely? Where do you go? Your person might be in those spaces. Because I know some people also have an aversion to online dating. Mm-hmm. So like putting yourself in the places that your person might be, not artificially, like, oh, I want, you know, a certain kind of corporate ladder climber that's going to be at the hotel bar at the W. I'm
not going to lie, I thought about that a couple of times. Just like, I'll just circle around the nice places of LA.
Yeah. I mean, but then that's not.
Right.
That's not true for you. So mm-hmm. what's true for you, and where would you want to go? Where would you want a person to take you and to go to those places to some degree? I mean, if you go to a drive-in movie theater by yourself, you are not going to meet your person there because it's dark and you're in a car and you're by yourself.
Yeah. You know, the people you might be meeting might not be right if they come up to your window.
Excuse me, ma'am. I saw you in there looking so doughy-eyed.
I think you're calling me in.
Can I sit here?
You may not. Not calling them
come
in.
Come in and lock the door. God, that'd be scary. Yeah. I love that your stories like wrap back around to this like multi-layered answer to the question. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they're perfect examples of ways to find yourself and then like show that to the world. Like that was beautiful. I was lost in your story. I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you. You know, people come to me and they come to, you know, our company and they want more from their sex life or their romance, whether they're dating or they're in a relationship. And every time, especially people that work with us in like a one-on-one capacity, they come for sex and we almost rarely talk about sex. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. what they really need is coming home to themselves. mm-hmm. and figuring out what they want on a deeper level. And it's more of a life structuring. What does your community look like? What do your friends look like? Mm-hmm. What is the work that you do? Do you feel purpose in it? Do you feel like you're leaving a legacy? All of these things factor into overall happiness. And so I can't fix someone's sex life, so to speak, if all these other things are in the way of them like feeling the depths of pleasure, you know? So mm-hmm. we address so much more than here's a technique to squirt.
Yeah. Cause it feels like sex in that instance is like the symptom. Like if there's an mm-hmm. issue with your sex, like that's just the symptom of like a deeper issue. So it's nice that like you dig deep.
It's like a microcosm of
sure is
your entire life. But to get kind of 180 and like a little bit more specific, once you have found somebody, whether you are like, yes, I want to date this person long term, or I really just want to have sex with this person, do you have any tips for going into that first time that you have sex with someone?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let's choose one of the instances. Like you're going to have a sexual interaction with someone for the first time. Is it just for fun, for sex? Or is it a person that you've been courting or that's been courting you with potentiality for a relationship?
Let's say maybe potential for a relationship. You're just dating them. You're not sure where it's going to go yet. Maybe you've been on like two dates.
Asking for a friend.
I am engaged and have been for like 3 years and have been dating the person for like 6 years. So it's not for me and it's not for this friend.
I'm currently not dating, but in the future, yeah. I could be.
I'm just trying to make it as like applicable to everyone as possible.
Sure. I had a moment. I'm like, this
feels specific.
It did feel specific. And I don't know who for.
And his name is Todd. Yeah.
That's my dog's name.
Yeah. A friend. Yeah. A listener friend.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So there's something that as you're asking that's coming up for me that's like somewhat related that I feel is maybe important to preface. And I got this piece of advice or this bit of information. I've more or less adapted it over the last few years. But I had a friend share that he was working with a male dating coach, and I don't remember what the coach, I can't necessarily give credit here. I should reach out and figure out, since this comes up for me every now and then, I'm like, oh, this is a good piece of advice. Is the, when you're interacting with a person that you're interested in, think about what you want just generally, if it can fall into one of these three categories. If you want fun sex, that's the main thing, the lead thing. If you want a relationship and a potential long-term relationship, like you're looking for like your person to build with. So let's call the first one, and the second one that I mentioned, let's call that one three. Number two is the person that you start dating and it's just for fun, and then you try to turn it into a relationship along the way. Or someone that you think you want to do a relationship with, but then they're not really fitting the relationship like bill for you. So you just keep sleeping with them. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's sex and fun. That's number one. And number three is relationship, long-term potentiality. We want to see where this goes. And in the middle is somewhere like trying to force one to be the other mm-hmm. or the other way around. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you only have those three options, and we're not doing number two, which one are you choosing before going into an interaction with someone? Mm-hmm. It's just a thought experiment, because it is really, really difficult to take sex for fun and turn it into that number three, that relationship, and vice versa to do that. Well, chances are the relationship is going to end. It might hurt. Chances are it will hurt. It will not turn out the way that you originally anticipated it to turn out. Both or one person is hurt more than the other. It just doesn't create a great situation. So if you can get real, when you look at someone and you've interacted with them, I think generally speaking, you know, you're talking with someone, you know, feel the internal, like, there's wisdom in your system mm-hmm. and your body listen to it. So you're talking to this person and like, they're saying all the right things. They want the same things that you do. And you maybe you've even spoken a little bit about sex stuff and those things seem promising as well. Then you're looking at a person for relationship potential. Or if like they're saying some things and like, it's just really hot. You go straight to sex and it's like hot, 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 hot. It's like, oh, I don't know anything about your family. I don't know anything about how you grew up. I don't even know your actual location, but we've already had texts. We've already sexed. We've already had an orgasm to your words. So this is probably just like, that's probably the lead thing. Mm-hmm. And you can know, right? So if you consider those things before going into a situation, I think that that can help possibly take the pressure off. Mm-hmm. If I look at someone, I go, we're just going to fuck and it's going to be awesome. And I am so surrendered. I will not try to make you more than you are. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a great time tonight and maybe we'll see each other again and maybe we won't. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Or do you act differently if that person is the future father of your children mm-hmm. or woman you're going to marry or person you're going to be in a long-term partnership with? Mm-hmm. You know, if it has that potentiality or you want it to have that potentiality, do you act any differently? And then that's something else to be curious about. Because if you do, why? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. Just curious, right? So bring it back to your original question. It's like the thought experiment. Don't try to make a 1 a 3 and don't try to make a 3 a 1. Mm-hmm. If you live by that, then you should be good. You know, in relationships, when the 1 tries to be a 3, in the relationship right then and there, when the 3, you try to make it a 1. Mm-hmm. So, and your original question was more about like interacting for the first time. Mm-hmm. So if it's hot and heavy right away with like texting and all that, then go there with consent conversation, go there with boundary conversation. So if you know that this has the possibility or the potentiality to go sexual, then it's up to you to take responsibility for your trauma, your body, your preferences, your nose, all of that. And the more that you can communicate that in an empowered and even seductive, dare I say, way, the better. Because it doesn't have to be, let me sit down with you and tell you all the fucked up shit that happened in my life that has caused me to totally disregard X, Y, and Z and avoid, you know, A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not that hot. And if you're just simply in the unknown and you're not quite sure if this person is going to check the boxes to be the romance, but you're getting a little frisky and you want to try it out, then I would say if you can meet for coffee or meet at some point during the day or have a call or FaceTime where maybe you do the won't list or you do a lighter version of it. You do like a this or that game. That could be fun.
That's mm-hmm. fun. That's like, a good, like, yeah, lighter mm-hmm. way to yeah. bring it up in yeah. the beginning.
You're like, here's 16 pages.
Yeah.
I printed it out and it's laminated.
You cannot get up until you're done.
Yes.
I'll time you.
Yes, ring this bell. when you're finished, I'll re-enter the room. But so you can do a this or that and you can trade back and forth. Mm-hmm. So would you rather a kiss on the neck or a lick on the ear? Kiss on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Would you rather a pinch of the nipple or a light stroke on the back? You know, so there's some mm-hmm. sensation ones and you can ask a slap on the ass or being spooned. Mm-hmm. You know, like just totally random. And then yeah. you could just pick up the heat as you go. So something like that. But it would be cool to do that. Over coffee, where the stakes are low.
Mm-hmm.
Sex isn't going to happen.
On that
might
table.
Happen in the bathroom of a coffee shop.
I don't know you.
People be freaky.
Yeah.
So, you know, but generally, it's not going to happen in the bathroom of the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So you have an end to a coffee date as well. Unless you turn the coffee, it's going so well that you turn the coffee date into a nightcap or a sundowner. And like you totally shift transition. And it's like, yeah, you're going to totally fuck that person. Yeah. You're with them the whole day. The conversation is so good.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? Have to fuck. But
sometimes going out for drinks or going out for dinner is late and the natural progression after dinner or drinks is home where a bed is, mm-hmm. where sex usually happens. that's not usually what's after coffee. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have shit to do today. Mm-hmm. So if you put that structure there where you're meeting somebody for the first time and you can flirt and you're like, we're, I have this crazy idea. I heard this chick talk about it on a podcast that I really love called Honey Do Me. And she said, go to coffee and play this or that. Would you, are you down?
That's a really good intro too. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go to coffee and play this or that.
Yeah.
It's very like structured, but interesting and mysterious. There's that mystery that you were talking about. There's
that mystery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I like going in with knowing if you're a one or a three as well. I feel like mm-hmm. that really helps orient your end goal, which, you know, doesn't always have to be sex, but it mm-hmm. just like, it helps you center yourself and figure out what you want at the end of this without being confused and kind of left like maybe someone else made the decision for you. Like, mm-hmm. oh, now it's sex. I don't know if I actually want this. It's like, just think for a minute and deep inside, you probably will know what you're going for. But why can't a one be a three? I'm just curious.
It can be. And but most people are not willing to do, and both parties have to be willing to do the work in order to transition the relationship, which means the relationship as it was is going to not be anymore. Mm-hmm. So the things that you loved so much about the relationship as it has been, once it shifts into this other territory, that's not, all of that's not coming with it. The relationship is essentially restructuring. The desires are restructuring. Both parties have to be willing to do that. And sometimes it takes work, tears and frustrations and vulnerabilities and all that. And sometimes for someone who is just your fuck buddy, they're like, I didn't sign up for this. And that's the truth. They didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. You didn't either if that was what you knew going in. Mm-hmm. And so it can be really hard for the person who's making the first initial motion for it to change. It's like, I know I said I wanted this and now I'm wanting this from you. And I have to be willing to put this relationship on the line for you to reject me and for me to end this thing that I am really loving so much in order for this to move to the other side, knowing that so much of it will change. It's rough.
Mm-hmm. When you put it that way.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like my first relationship. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was just curious on the specifics.
But I think if you know what I just outlined, mm-hmm. if you have self-awareness and relational awareness, you know, and can take a zoomed out meta perspective and know that this is typically how this goes down and call it ahead of time, it's not that it won't hurt less. It's just that you can have an active dialogue around it mm-hmm. and you can have check-ins, because I think so many people let a thing go into the, I don't really know what we are territory mm-hmm. to be fuck buddies. And then we kind of got close and I met his cousin.
Right. Yeah. The 1-2 step over to the other side.
Yeah.
Where they're,
yeah.
Where
and then it's like, once you step to the other side and then usually one of the parties retreats and then the person isn't acting the way that they were when you first became fuck buddies and were almost obsessed with each other. The limerence period starts to shift very quickly into, I don't think this is what I wanted. And I want, you know, something else, something new, mm-hmm. or I just don't want this. And even harder is, I don't want this from you.
Yeah. That those are hurting me just coming from you. It just hurts right now thinking about it.
Yeah.
It hurts saying it. Yeah. It hurts saying it, but that's how real, you know what this is? This is universal. I've never met a soul that hasn't been affected by the conversation that we're having right now.
Right. And then the key to helping yourself through all that you're saying is just being clear on what you want and having conversation as you should.
Yeah. And my relationship coach says that a should is a could covered in shame. So when I say that to myself, then I go, okay, I'm not going to shame myself. I'm mm-hmm. just going to say that I have awareness around this thing that I am actively choosing for it to hurt like this, you know, mm-hmm. because it's hard. Relationships and rejection and vulnerability and all of that. And love is risky. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I am in the greatest relationship of my life. And one of the things that makes it so beautiful and meaningful and all of the things that it is that it could be over in an instant. And that's where like the depths of joy and gratitude can come from, is like, this can be taken away. All of this is risky on very emotional, physical, financial, like there's a lot of different levels that, mm-hmm. that all of this playing with others, is at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was beautiful. Yes, and was. Heartbreaking. Yes. And so, you know, when you are in a long-term relationship and you have found that person that you, you know, you've gone through your want, will, won't list and you're doing all the stuff, you're doing the hard work. How do you make sure that you continue to like, how am I wanting to phrase this? Like fulfilling what you want for your sex life. Yeah. Because, you know, as you get years in, it starts to be, I don't know.
Change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you make sure that you're still fulfilling what you want?
Yeah. This is a conversation that Jordan and I have all the time, weekly, which is a part of my answer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How we do it is we have something called a relationship board meeting.
Oh my God.
I love it already.
We treat our relationship like it is the most important business of our lives, because when this is functioning effectively and properly and with intention and we put attention on it, mm-hmm. then everywhere else in our life is more fulfilling. When the unit of us is, and this is if you're single too, the unit of you, I've never said that before, but you, when you are treating yourself well and nicely and kindly and all that. And in the unit of Jordan and I, when it's tended to properly, everything else in our life feels like the world could be falling apart. And at times over the last couple of years, it has certainly felt that way, mm-hmm. but we have each other. And so, and that's okay. Or like, there's a really hard thing that we're going through outside of our relationship, but because we have each other, that hard thing doesn't feel so hard because we're doing it together, mm-hmm. and we have our love and we communicate, you deserve sex and you deserve pleasure and you deserve to feel good. Even if that thing is hard, mm-hmm. we can go back to that thing later. So, we realize that that's really important. And that doesn't mean that both of us don't have resistance. That's usually me every time, like mm-hmm. clockwork. And he's just learning to flow with that resistance and not take it personally. And he decides to become a court jester of my life at any time that I do provide some kind of resistance. And when I say that, I mean, he says, let's do board meeting. And I just like, but I got to cook and I got to this and I got to that. And I'm just like saying all these things and it's just, stop it, Alexa. This is the most important thing. We'll order takeout, sit down. We need to talk about our relationship once a week. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard, but it still is very challenging for me at times. But we do it. We look at our calendar and we look at our actual commitments outside of each other so that we're at least aware. Because we used to go through like the first part of our relationship, he would be walking out of the door and I would be off of 3 consecutive calls and I'd finally have a break and he'd have like the basketball under his arm. And I'd come out of the office and I'd go, oh, where are you going? And he'd be like, oh, I'm meeting so-and-so to go play basketball. And he had all morning to just kind of dilly-dally. Mm. And now he was going somewhere. And I am thinking, oh, I can go connect with my person. And it's a simple scheduling error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That people aren't even talking about. So sit and talk about your schedules. Like, what are you actually committed to? And can you rearrange a couple of things to make specific time for each other? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have to plan something. Just means you're not going to plan anything else,
mm-hmm. right?
At that time. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing that we moved through, was like actually looking at each other's calendars, which is as simple as putting their calendar, if you use Google Calendar, as a tab you can check to see mm-hmm. on and off your calendar. Mm-hmm. We did it the hard way for a little while where we had a joint email so we could have a calendar associated so that was on our calendars. We didn't realize the whole check thing.
Yeah.
There we got it now. Yeah. We got it now. Millennials, we are. So that was a piece. The other piece was, after looking at that, okay, we're going to keep these windows of time open. Which one, if or all of them, do you want to have sex? And that we actually scheduled at least 1 to 2 of our sessions. And some people have an aversion to scheduling sex because it isn't sexy. However, knowing that that's happening, and I can remove the pressure of I need to just spontaneously be aroused and mm-hmm. ready to rip clothes off in the middle of the fucking day when I'm running business mm-hmm. and the entrepreneurial mind, which I'm sure y'all are familiar with, like it doesn't turn off.
No. No.
It doesn't turn off. Nobody told me this.
It's exhausting.
So like knowing that that window of time is there, I can just surrender, you know, and we take turns. We'll put, we'll use things like king or queen worship or god or goddess worship. And so that means he's going to take the lead or I'm going to take the lead.
That's
and we're
going to
create a worship experience. Yeah. And so like we'll stick that. It on the calendar every now and then. Mm-hmm. We do one that is the most uncomfortable one that I'll share with you is our sexploration. He likes the word. I'm not the biggest fan of putting S-E-X in front of all words that start with E-X.
Yes.
He likes it. So exploring. And that's like, When we first started doing those sessions, it basically meant we're going to grab a new toy. We're going to do a new thing. Now, the challenging part in that is grabbing a new toy or doing a new thing is not necessarily going to create for a sexy environment. It's going to create for two people, one person who's getting a thing done to their body that they're not sure if they like it up, down, around, left, right, whatever. And the other person who's attached to a tool that they've never used before. And very vulnerably going to start putting it in places. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're naked.
And you're naked.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it can be a very uncomfortable situation. So we know going in that those are not inherently sexy to start off with. Mm-hmm. So we take an element of play and curiosity, like, I don't know, let's see what happens. And then usually it transitions. Okay, toss the toy, toss the thing. We'll either try that again or we'll keep going or whatever. And then we go into like normal, playful kind of sex that we, you know, that was the foreplay, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We try something new. That used to be really challenging for us because I'm a sex coach and he knew nothing about expanded sexual communication and toys and kink and dynamics. He didn't know any of that stuff. And so me being in the teacher role or me being in the critical role, whether or not I was there, he would project that and we would create that kind of sad self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so we had to be very diligent with not allowing that seed to take root of this, like, I'm not going to try things because I'm afraid I'm going to fail you. And I'm going to, and my mantra in my head is no matter what he does, he wins. He wins. Mm-hmm. You're winning. By showing up, you're winning. Mm-hmm. I am your biggest fucking cheerleader because the alternative is that I am hypercritical of you and you can't do anything right. And then this ends eventually.
Right.
So I got to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. So relationship board meeting. That's back where that was. We schedule various types of sex. And then we also, when we schedule one or two a week, we usually have a spontaneous one or two. Mm-hmm. When we don't schedule, that spontaneous might happen once and we're both frustrated because sex didn't happen enough for our system. Mm-hmm. Like the system of us likes, I mean, he would have it every day. I'm more like three times a week, you know, three, four, maybe. If we're like really feeling, if I'm like ovulating that week, you know, so.
Wow. That is the most in-depth like board meeting type of situation I've ever heard, but it sounds so beneficial.
Yeah. So valuable.
So valuable.
I feel like we plan our dates as well ahead of time.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll plan what the date nights are at the beginning of the month, only one time. Mm-hmm. And then we just chime and make sure that these still work week to week. So sometimes we'll do a bigger meeting where we're going through more of the month, but we'll plan what the date nights are. That way nobody plans evening things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we tell our friends it's date night and our friends all respect anything that we have. That's the two of us. It's always met with respect. Hey, do you want to come do XYZ? It's date night. Guys are trying to get Jordan to do, I don't know, film some silly thing. And he's like, it's date night. And as his partner, I'm like, oh, that feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we're trying to create more of this in the world.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Absolutely. I feel like that's such a fantastic tool that, like you said, with scheduling sex, so many people would shy away from because it either sounds unsexy. It sounds like relationships shouldn't have to be scheduled or talked about that much. They should come easy. But it's like, it's the most important thing potentially in your life. Mm. you should put that much time and effort and planning into it to make sure it's successful. So I think that was my favorite takeaway already.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Thanks. Guess what?
What?
We have a PDF for the relationship board meeting. Also, it's a free resource.
Oh, yay! Love that.
Oh my God. I love it.
We will link that in the show notes if please. That's okay with you.
Have it.
That would be amazing.
I also feel like wrapped into this, like how to keep your relationship successful is also what you mentioned in the very beginning, which is like regarding your partner with mystery and like curiosity and always like asking about them and what they like and what they're interested in, like knowing that you're going to keep changing and not taking any of that for granted, I feel like is also helpful. It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. Oh my gosh. I think some people have such a big challenge with exploring, especially for the first time, if they've been in a long-term relationship and they're just starting the exploration and someone chimes in with, I want you to pee on me. And the other person is like, what? You've wanted that the whole time? I don't even know you.
Yeah.
Who are you? Mm-hmm. You know? And you have to be willing to regulate your own internal projections, your nervous system, your everything that could come up for you. And I'm speaking very generally there, like whatever role you're in as the deliverer or the receiver of the information. You know what I mean? Like you're in a partnership with someone and they're like, you know, I'd always been curious about polyamory and you've been in a monogamous relationship for 15 years and you have to go, you're interested in what? Poly what? You know, so
Polly who? Who's Polly?
Yeah. Yeah. Bring her here.
Bring her here.
Yeah. So it's just like the deepest work you can do and to look at that person and just go like, yeah, you're a mystery that I have said yes to unraveling and unfolding and engaging with you for my whole life, the rest of my life. I am choosing to ride your ride. I've bought my ticket. I'm fully strapped in. Hands are in the air. Let's go.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, so many beautiful things. I feel like I don't even have any other words for it other than where can our listeners continue connecting with you after the episode?
Well, it was a great conversational podcast. I spoke a lot. I didn't realize I had all that inside. So thank you.
We thank you. Yeah.
That's Sex Chick on Instagram.
Beautiful.
That's the main place. Our company, the brand and business that we run helping people is called Sex and Love Co. And so depending on when this podcast airs, sexandlove.co might be up and running, which is really exciting. It's a new branch of our business, is officially branded and ready for you to explore. And so that's really exciting. But that Sex Chick's the main place. The free resources are in my link tree and my bio, and they're there and available all the time.
Let's see how lazy I can be with things.
Emma's pressing record with her toe.
With my toe.
So anybody out there with a foot fetish, this one's for you.
Imagine my wool sock covered in dog hair reaching across my body and my heating pad to press record.
And she's laying on my dog's bed.
I'm laying on a dog bed. I'm a mess. We're getting an office, ladies and gentlemen, okay?
Woo!
Let's start there.
We're getting an office, and you're going to get to see the inside of it when you head to our YouTube. We're going to give you a full-on tour.
You're going to see inside of so much in our YouTube.
My vagina.
I was going to leave that more up to, like, a tongue-in-cheek joke. Sorry.
We're going to stay mysterious. I don't know what you're going to see inside of. Maybe my vagina. Maybe Emma's butthole.
And you just keep going.
It's a mystery.
Thank you, Alexa, for letting us see inside your brain. And for guiding us through a way to just create a better sex life for ourselves. And thank you to our listeners. We love you so much.
We do. And if you love us, please share this episode with someone that you think could benefit from it, or any other episode that has touched your heart or your genitals consensually. It would mean a whole lot to us. I am not holding my mic. I'm bouncing it on my tummy. And You can also head over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing big old things.
We have really fun big plans for YouTube, so don't miss out.
Don't miss out. Subscribe now, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye.